Hi, welcome back to Noise Avocation Podcast. I'm Ryan here with Jeremy as always.
What up?
I don't really have anything news-wise going on.
Me neither.
But before I forget and mention it at the end, as always, check out Blast Beats Vinyl. He just did like a huge restock on a bunch of Suffocation, Obituary, Immolation, all sorts of stuff. So get on the website, use our promo code NOISE for 10% off your first order and check that out. But this week we had an episode that like we as record collectors have come across many, many times. Like you're in a store and you're picking something up and you're like, man, this record looks sweet. And you get home and it's the complete opposite of what you expected, or the cover had like no indication of what the music was. So you kind of just took a chance because it might have been cool or alluring to you somehow. And you're just like, it either ends up being good or bad. I mean, it works both ways in that scenario. Like, for some people, King Crimson's first record is one that I could think of with the real ugly face on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whether or not you're a King Crimson fan, that would kind of depend. But, like,
see, that's one I didn't bring because
I hate that cover, but I like the record. And there's just a whole bunch out there, but, like, we went at this as like a, you've never seen this band before, you don't know the name, so you have no idea what they're about. Otherwise,
it would be really hard.
It was really hard because
records
like,
with nothing on them.
Yeah,
because
you know them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you pick up like New Order or something and like the second record, you're like, oh, I already know this because I know New Order, but pretend like you didn't know it. So that's the set of eyes we're walking into this with. And I'm sure we'll probably have like a couple duplicates because neither one of us know each other's list right now, aside from one or two that we kind of talked about. But for the most part, I mean, it's
like
always
the one
a
you may have just mentioned.
I did.
No, that works. That was perfect.
That was a slip up. I know it was on mine, and I talked to you about it like yesterday. But this record, I mean, you look at it, and it kind of just looks like, I don't know, an old lady's, like, bathroom painting or something. And
oh, yeah, this would be on my grandma's wall or something for
sure. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like you look at
definitely.
It, and you're like, well, that's cute, I guess, for, like, above some
nothing
fucking Christmas
back.
Decorations. Yeah, nothing on the back. And there's not even song titles on the back. So you pick this up, look
even
at
on
it.
The fucking spine, dude, it just tells you factory and gives you the catalog number.
Yep. And mine says the album name.
Does it?
Fact 75. Or maybe that's the album, the record label.
No, that's what it is. Factory 75.
Oh, that's the catalog number?
Yeah.
Oh. look at my dumbass.
But that's a prime example of one that's like, if you don't know, you're gonna just be like, what the hell is this?
Yeah,
I don't know. And then it's,
and I mean, unless you're like Discogs savvy where you're gonna scan the barcode on the back, because there was a barcode on the back, wasn't there? Yeah, so you could scan that, check it out, and go that
way. We're
gonna
pretend you couldn't do that, because when this came out, there was you couldn't scan the fucking barcode.
So you pick it up in the store, and you're basically going off of whether or not you like the old lady's artwork, because I don't really see how that record cover like pertains to the record whatsoever.
If I put myself, let's say, I was even this age back then when that came out, and I didn't have any idea. Let's say all I knew was like, oh, MTV, you know, may have played a video or something, right?
Yeah, you heard
Blue Monday.
You heard Blue Monday.
Came out before.
Yeah.
But I can be honest and say I'd be like, I'm not going to waste my fucking 10 hard-earned dollars on this fucking piece of shit, you know? Minimum wage is $1.50, you know what I mean? That shit's hard.
I do like the first record more. Movement, I think, is better.
Yeah.
The second record's good, but like, it just seemed like it got a little lighter.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the on that one they got away from the more of the Joy Division sound for sure.
Yeah. Well, because the first one was basically Joy Division songs that didn't get finished.
Agreed. I actually, since we're on that same band,
Yeah, see, I knew you were going to bring it. I didn't even... Oh, you brought a different one.
Oh, there's this one.
Yeah, the other New Order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, same deal. Not, there's absolutely nothing on the spine of this one. Anybody want to guess? This would, I would assume, sound like metal of some kind. I don't know. Wouldn't you think this would be like some hard rock from... Because this came out in like 80... Let me get the actual date.
That one was... 86. That was after... No, it was before Substance then, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that would have been third record.
And,
But yeah, I mean, you look at it, it kind of looks like... It kind of looks like industrial metal almost.
Yeah, right? Like Nine Inch Nails might have put it out, yeah, or something.
Exactly.
But yeah, no idea. Again...
And now that you just brought that up, that reminded me, I was supposed to grab a record out of the front of the store that I didn't grab.
Yeah.
But Emerson, Lake, and Palmer Brain Salad Surgery, that's got that H.R. Giger cover, and it...
Looks so badass.
Always, I've fell for that record so many times, like it'll come in a collection, and you're looking at it, and you're like, damn, this is fucking awesome looking. Like, it looks like something like Tool would put out.
Because it is, but it's a little early.
But then you, like, look at it, and you're like, man, this is... or you listen to it, I mean, and you're like, this is not what I expected whatsoever. It's very soft rock, slow, mellow. I mean, it's Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Like, I was never a huge Emerson, Lake, and Palmer dude, but that's, like, that whole late 70s thing. That's, like, my mom.
Yeah. So I've never been into them.
But they are everywhere around here.
Yeah, we get tons of their records. Definitely. And I come across that album all the fucking time. And now, after years, I've finally been like, oh, okay, Brain Salad Surgery.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's going to come a day where a band does, like, a replica of the cover. I mean, the Residents have done it with the Beatles and, like, shit like that. So there's going to become a day where some band does that cover and then... Every record store that gets a used copy is just going to toss it in their dollar bin. Yeah.
That is interesting.
But speaking of H.R. Giger covers, or Giger, whatever you call it, this Blondie record was, I think the cover is really, really cool, but the music did not live up to it whatsoever.
No,
like, it looks like it's going to be...
I have that one too, and I didn't bring it, but I have that album, and it's like... It is not a good album at all. Honestly.
Like, it looks like, I mean, you know Blondie, so you're gonna expect Blondie. But to me, the cover looks like it should be like a dark synth album or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Kind of.
Or like Debbie Harry's gonna sing about some fucking weird shit.
Yeah, or something. But it's just a pretty much. It's almost like slow pop. Like, it's not even. I love Blondie, and I don't like that record.
Yeah, that's not. That's not well. Debbie Harry, but
yeah,
that's the trick though, especially when people come from other bands.
It's hard to
differentiate,
have a different sound.
Yeah, and then when they do something like that, it's like
sometimes it works though, where they're like they change it, and then the change was for the better, and it was all good and worked out for them, and the band did over what, like Opeth's an example. Some people like the new stuff. Some of it's really good. I'll admit that, but. For the most part, like, when you take that sound and change it, it's going to fuck with people. Like,
oh, yeah, with the core member or the
core
fans.
Your core fan base is not going to resonate with that at all.
I got another one. How about a little Motown? That's the Temptations' Power. This record, they were on Atlantic for a few years. And this was like their comeback to Motown album.
I don't think I've ever even seen that
Temptations
record.
Does this look like a Temptations record?
No,
to you?
Not at all.
Looks like some, like, honestly.
It's like a Seals and Crofts record.
I always thought it was like some Nazi crap or something because, I mean, I don't know. It was like Eagles, Red, I don't know. I didn't know. But not Temptations, right?
A lot of those Motown covers, like, they looked like that right there. Yeah.
The back cover looks more like the, like, that would be on the cover and then. The cover would be maybe on the back.
Yeah. Like, they should have taken that, the back cover that you have on there, flipped it, and then in that blank space in the middle, put the Temptations in there, and that should have been the record. Because it doesn't even, and it's not even big print, like.
No. And it's just like the sun. Like, you can see, like, the little flares coming. Like, it just makes no sense. And it's straight up Temptations. There's nothing weird about it.
It's not just like experimental record or anything.
It's a standard, like, singing about broken hearts, love.
Weird. That was an Atlantic record?
This is the first Motown, back on Motown record.
Okay.
So they were on Atlantic, which the album before this was called Bareback. And, yeah, I'm just, Power sounds better. I don't know. It's on Motown. So if you like Temptations, check it out. But other than that,
I love the Temptations and a lot of those Motown groups, but I will say, like, most of them, once they get to, like, their, like, later career albums, kind of didn't. Like, a lot of the solo Smokey Robinson records, they might have, like, one or two good songs on them, but the rest of them are, like, just real slow love ballads.
Well, I mean, and that's basically what that is. And it's 1980, so it's kind of like yeah, you said.
It's probably in that, like, soft jazz
They're not even
era.
In Detroit anymore. They're, like, in fucking L.A. or whatever.
Yeah. And that happens with all artists, though. Like, you get to a point in your career, and then your whole life has changed, so you're not singing about the same, like, shit that brought your career on.
But for sure.
Sometimes it hurts the music. My next one is a kind of oddball record, but this is a band called Demon Fuzz. The album's called Afrika. I bought this simply based on the cover. Because I looked at it and I was like...
I've never seen that before in my life.
I looked at it and I was like, damn, this is really cool looking. I honestly kind of thought with a name like Demon Fuzz, it was going to be like stoner metal-ish.
Yeah, that's what
kinda.
Dude's wearing a fucking sock on his head.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like a cutout sock. And then like the background has like... I mean, he's kind of
like
cut
some,
up and
maybe
stuff.
Maybe some Mexican wrestling music. That'd
yeah, it
cool.
does look like a little bit of a Lucha Libre mask.
Yeah, yeah.
But... it's like jazz fusion sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Like, and it leans hard on the fusion side. Like, it's all sorts of fucking blended.
So when you went to grab it, you were thinking, like I would, that it was just some stoner metal psychedelic kind of stuff?
Yeah, because you look at it with the name, I was like, you know, Afrika, I figured it would be like world music inspired. So it would probably have some crazy drums or something.
Not so much, eh?
And I mean, the record's sweet. It's a great album, but it just doesn't look like how it would. I don't know the year. Yeah, it was in like the 70s, I believe, that it came out. And this is a bootleg copy. Like, this is a hard record
also
to find.
That, see, that looks like that might have been released in like, I don't know, last week. Like, somebody would make, I don't know, it's crazy that came out in the mid-70s. Somebody put that on a cover then?
Yeah.
Seems pretty ballsy, I think.
I've only ever seen this record one other time, like, in the wild. And especially here. I mean, I'm never going to see it here. But
right.
I was at a record show in Bay City, and some dude had a copy of it there. But, again, it was a bootleg. Like, most of them are. Like, it was kind of one of those albums that, I don't know where the original pressing was done at label-wise or anything. I probably knew at one point and forgot, but it's one of those, like, it got done, put out. They didn't really bother, like, making it a widespread thing because I imagine that it wasn't, like, incredibly popular here,
no,
at least.
No, for sure. So it's like you can only get it on bootleg, basically, or it's an astronomical amount of money to get an OG press, if you can even find one.
Yeah, I would say finding one would be the hardest part. Whether the price is high or not, like, that would depend on who had it, I guess, like, what it meant to them. I mean, I can't foresee it being, like, a $1,000 album, but you never know.
Yeah, that's just a jazz fusion is an area I have no knowledge of.
I dabble in it. Like, I like a lot of, like, the Return to Forever, like, Chick Corea and shit like that. But, I don't know, some other stuff, too. But, like, there's a jazz album by an African group called the Hishu Bishu Group.
Yeah.
And the cover has...
Hishu
Bishu? Hishu Bishu. The cover is, like, an Abbey Road thing. But it looks like it's, like, in Ethiopia or something. So there's, like, a guy in the wheelchair in the front. And then there's, like, a starving dude behind him. And, like, they're all, like, in a torn and tattered area. It's not, like, Hollywood or wherever the fuck that picture was taken. I don't remember the exact area. I'm not a Beatles buff. So, but it's all, like, the third world country version of that album cover.
Oh, I gotcha.
But it's, like, real good quality jazz.
That's what's up. When was that released?
I don't remember. Oh. That was another one I bought because of the cover.
I was like,
oh, that's cool. I forgot to grab that.
My next one is a former guest.
That's a good one, actually, yeah.
I was thinking that you might have grabbed this one. I wasn't sure.
But, I didn't even, like, really think about it. But now that, like, you look at it, it does look like it could be, like, Time Cop or something.
Yeah, 80s synth pop.
And they said it was heavily influenced by that, if I remember right. Like,
so go back and listen to the episode. But, yeah, this definitely does not look like a fucking 15-minute hardcore album.
No. But I do love the cover for that.
Yeah, and the car, dude, that car is awesome.
Yeah, like, I'm big on vibrant colors and shit.
Yeah, this one's good.
I might wear a lot of black, but I like it to have colorful print on it.
I like their merch, too. Like, the merch for this album is really fucking cool, too. But, yeah, Safe Midwestern Home, Seize of the Day, Short-Term Pleasure, Long-Term Haul, Who Wants to Die Tonight, the opening track. Man, this shit's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it is a dope record.
So, yeah, go back and listen to the fucking episode.
One of these days, we should have a key, like, on the wall over here of our guests and episode numbers, because I was going to say the number, but I never remember what they are.
I also failed.
I want to say that was 86.
We'll find out
if I'm right after the episode or not. But I remember it being close to the One Life Crew episode. So, and since I designed the shit, I was like, well, I kind of remember it. But the next one I had was the Crusaders, the Southern Knights, which the Crusaders were originally a jazz group. They were called the Jazz Crusaders. This record, to me, the cover-wise, I mean, it's obviously like sort of a parody thing on the title. Because Knights is spelled like, you know, Knight, like K-N-I, Knight.
Oh, yeah, like Knights of the Templar.
Yeah. But you look at it, and it kind of looks like, I don't know, it could be like some Celtic folk rock type of stuff. And this was, I knew the Crusaders before this, but like we said, we're going into this with blind eyes. But they used a lot of album covers like, you know that Sugar Shack painting that Marvin Gaye has on that one record? And then, like, from Good Times, like, where JJ had all that, like, tall figure, skinny guy artwork. Yep. Like, they used a lot of album stuff like that on their covers. So, like, to see this one that looks like kind of like, I don't know, weird, like, old-timely, you know, back in, like, fucking Kings and Queens Renaissance times, like... It's a great record, though. I mean, it's all, like, jazz. It's not traditional, like, Blue Note jazz. It's got, like, a little bit of funk added into it. I wouldn't quite call it fusion, but I guess by the literal definition,
It's like it touches on the funk.
Yeah, it's like
we live for
before
the funk.
That 80s jazz stuff came in, like, where Stanley Turrentine and all those guys were, like, doing that, like, heavily guitar-driven, or not Turrentine, Stanley Clark, I'm sorry. They were doing that, like, heavily guitar-driven, like, fucking strong
jazz fusion
stuff. Like, this was a little earlier than that. This was 76.
Yeah, some of that stuff for me is like a can of worms I'm leaving alone for the time being.
Yeah, I have a lot of Crusaders records, actually, because normally you can find them for, like, $4 to $6 or something clean. So I have, I don't know off the top of my head how many records they have, but they have quite a few. I'd say probably 17 or 18. I have probably 12.
That's a pretty decent fucking discography for.
And then I got a couple Jazz Crusaders records.
But it seems like
they
just pump jazz musicians, man. If they're pumping shit out, they're pumping shit out. You know?
Well, I like it because it's, like, smooth, mellow, like, good, like, chill music to have on in the background if you're, like, doing shit around your house or reading or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes with the hard bop or even shit with lyrics, man, you can't read.
Yeah, sometimes hard bop can be, like, too piercing on your ear.
Right, or you
or
pay attention
too much
because
going
you want
on. Yeah, or they're, like, breaking down into, you're listening to Bitches Brew and there's fucking like 18 solos
so going
on.
So much
going
on in that album. What do you, just glancing at this, looks like a jazz album, a Blue Note album even, right?
It is a Blue Note album, but yeah.
Well, sure, but in the traditional sense, it's put out by Blue Note, but yeah. It is a hip-hop album by Madlib.
But it's fully constructed of samples of Blue Note, yep. Which is cool. But yeah, looking at it, I've had a lot of, I even know, John, he, I think, picked up a copy of that record.
Yeah, he posted about it, and I was like, holy shit, dude, he's posting about Madlib. That's fucking dope. Yeah,
I would assume even more than just him, since he's a big Blue Note fan, I would assume a lot of other Blue Note followers had come across that record and at least listened to it. Because, it is really cool, and especially if you're a fan of Blue Note Jazz, you have all those, you might even be able to pull some of them samples out yourself, if you're familiar enough with it.
With me, it's kind of both. I'm a fan of Madlib, and I'm a fan of fucking Blue Note and hard bop jazz like you, and this is just the perfect marriage of it. And the fact that they even let him into the vaults is, pretty astonishing. You know, we trust you with all these fucking masters that are, priceless.
Literally legendary. Yeah.
So I always enjoyed this album, and it's pretty long, actually. I don't remember what the fucking length is, but it's a lot longer than fucking 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Also, the Last Gasp episode's 81, which is
81.
82 is One Life, so yeah, you're close.
Yeah, I like that record a lot. Yeah. That's another one that's pretty mellow to, sit back and listen to.
This is the Vinyl Me Please version. That's why it's all shiny and cut off, because these are a fucking pain in the ass to get back in, and I don't want to do it.
I always fold mine out flat and stick them in the side.
Oh, I follow you. Yeah, I got them all.
Because I don't like when they, cut off the actual, jacket itself, the picture on there.
Yeah, I just left them.
But I have seen a lot of people, they'll take every single Vinyl Me Please title they have and, they shelf them that way. But that would break up my alphabetical order, so I never did that.
Oh, see, okay. Mine are like that.
Oh, are they?
I have my Vinyl Me Please.
Separate?
Separate. But they're all hip-hop except a couple, two that I got, one-offs of here or there, you know?
Right.
I have 40 Ounces to Freedom, Sublimes. That's with Sublime, but... Yeah, I guess I never thought about that, because I was going to put them in alphabetical.
There's a couple that I have that don't have the thing. I have a few that were made prior to them starting.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Because they used to have them where they were it was purple and white, but it was an OBI strip that goes down, but it's kind of tapered off as you go down.
Yeah.
I have a Snoop Dogg one and an MF Doom one that are done that way, and I think the Fugees one that I have is done that way too. Maybe even Biggie, because those were all 2017, 18 that they did those. They were a while back before Vinyl Me Please got as big as they are now.
Yeah, because even before that, I subscribed to them and ended up with one okay record and three other shit albums when it was we're just gonna give you what you want and you can exchange, and it was a total pain in the ass, and now they're on point, you know.
Yeah, well, we did a episode about vinyl subscription services. Yeah. I remember talking about Vinyl Me Please quite a bit.
Yeah, that's way back.
They're lately though, they're real hit and miss. But I guess if you're a fan of some of the hip-hop stuff that they're doing, they're doing, mid-2000s shit right now, yeah. And a lot of that I didn't really care for, depending on what it was. There was
a few standouts.
There was the good side to that, underground-wise. I think underground hip-hop, really shined around that time, especially,
with Griselda and all that shit.
Not even that. That was a little down the... Well, they were early on, too, but I didn't learn about them until, later down the road. But, Rhymesayers... Atmosphere, all that stuff was real big at the time, in 2004 or 2005.
Oh yeah, early 2000s.
I mean, it still is,
sure.
But
yeah, when his Outkast came out and all that shit.
Yeah, and there was so much
God Loves Ugly,
Young Jeezy and stuff like that that I wasn't really a fan for. Yeah. I know it was big, but
the Puffy product. Yeah, that shit's not.
Yeah, I never really
about
cared
the glisten
for all that.
Gold, because I don't have any.
Yeah. All right, next one I got, Curtis Mayfield's Sweet Exorcist. Is it Exorcist or Exorcism? No, it's Exorcist. So this to me looks like it would be a psych rock record.
Yeah,
almost
like a psych.
Like Grateful Dead-ish, kind of.
I don't know yet. Not Grateful Dead. Me looking at it, I think it's some psychedelic rock funk shit. Not Curtis Mayfield. I don't have that album, nor have I ever seen it, so.
I found it at a record show in April when they did the one here.
Oh, right on.
But up until then, I'd never seen it either. And, I mean, it's cut and dry Curtis Mayfield. It's soul music. Like, it's got a little bit of funk here, but for the most part, I mean, if you listen to Curtis Mayfield, you know what he's doing, so.
Yeah, that looks like there'd be some heavy fucking fuzz going on.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. And, I mean, there's a couple spots where it's got, you know, some guitar shit here and there, but it's, like, it doesn't resonate with, like, how, I don't know. This cover to me just looks like it would be, like, very rockish or psychedelic, like you said, or even, like, more on the fusion side, but it's just kind of, like.
I like the waves and the skulls. That shit looks dope.
Yeah.
I don't know about the naked dudes, but.
Yeah, it is a really cool cover, but it's no Superfly.
Right.
And then, like, the inside has, like, a bunch of other stuff in there, too.
Yeah, I like that.
And then on the back has Curtis.
That's a typical Curtis there.
Yeah, like, that. If that were on the album cover, I would be like, oh, yeah, Curtis Mayfield. Like, you can look at that and be like, well, this is either going to be funky or soulful. So, but this, I mean, you look at it and you're like, I really don't know what to expect. Like, if you're, I like this, though. Like, I like when you see a record and you're like, whether you know the artist or not, you look at it, you're like, damn, this cover's sweet. And I just buy shit based on that a lot of times, and it's served me well, and it's bit me in the ass before. But, like, Ginger Baker from Cream, like, he has a ton of side projects.
Yeah,
like Ginger Baker's Air Force, the Baker Gurevitz Army or whatever that other one was called.
Yeah, he did not stop after Cream, that's for sure.
Yeah, and they have some really fucking awesome album covers, but they're more, I don't know, fusion-y. And I wanted to throw Molly Hatchet in here, too, but I don't have any.
No, neither do I. And since
we were out of it, out of it at the store, too. Yeah.
See, that's the, like we were talking before, that is the perfect example of, like, even before I knew who Molly Hatchet were, I was like, oh, this is, like, got to be, like, a Maiden knockoff or something, right?
Yeah, it looks like straight Viking metal.
Like, you think it would be fucking amazing.
Pretty much. And I've heard a lot of people, like, overhearing stories who were like, oh, remember when we bought Molly Hatchet and we thought it was going to be, like, crazy heavy like, the next, like, Metallica or something, and it's just Southern rock.
It's like it's like the story most told about Molly Hatchet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not
I mean, really. Granted, like, there are some awesome Molly Hatchet songs, but they're, I don't know, like, you think Lynyrd Skynyrd, like, you look at their records and you can kind of gather what they're about. I mean, Street Survivors doesn't really look like a Southern rock album, but at least, like, you can tell by their outfits and
Well, yeah, you like, look at, like, their first one.
Yeah, like, you're pronounced. Like, oh, they're from the South.
Yeah, and they're just dudes playing rock. That, like, yeah, that looks metal, not Southern rock at
all. But you get Molly Hatchet on there and you're like, fucking, oh, this is gonna be like the next Bathory or something.
I wish.
It's not.
Here's my next one. I'm not even gonna say anything. I know you know what it is.
Damn, that's a good one, too. I didn't even think about
one. Remember when I was telling you, like, as I was running out, I grabbed it, too. This was one of the ones I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's So Many Other Realities. No, that's Word, isn't
it? Yeah, Atmosphere is Word.
Because So Many Other Realities Exist Simultaneously was the other record that kind of had a weird cover, too.
Yep.
And it's almost like the same color scheme as that one.
Yeah, this just says Rhymesayers. It does say Atmosphere on here, but, man, it's so small. But, no, it's a dope.
I guess picking that up,
fucking sick.
I would, oh, yeah, that is really cool. My version's different because I have I have one of the three like super limited ones.
Oh, you have a variant?
So there was three different artists that made graffiti like that said Word.
Oh,
and there was I don't remember how many.
Now I wish I would have told you I was bringing it.
Yeah, if you would have told me, I would have brought it. But it has like a certificate of authenticity in it that's signed by Slug.
That's dope.
And then it shows like how many are made or whatever.
Sick. I like this album. Was it Strong Clocked Sleepless? That's on the kind of in the middle of the album.
Yeah.
Track 6, 7.
Picking that up, though, I would, like, just first glance, assume... You could either assume hip-hop or, like, some type of pop, really.
Yeah, now, see, I was thinking, like, Paramore or one of those bands.
Yeah, there you go. Paramore would be a good one,
maybe
too.
Maybe would think that
because it's colorful, bright.
Maybe jazz fusion.
Yeah, it really could be a lot of shit.
That's why I was like, man, you're coming with me, buddy. And then you were talking about atmosphere, and I was like, shit. But
yeah.
Anyway, anybody wants to check this? This one came out in 2021.
And pull the sleeve off there real quick.
Oh, they're real consistent, too, about their, you know, output. They have been lately, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that looks good. Like,
what? Your inside's not like this, though, either?
Nah, the inside says Word.
Just real big?
I think so, yeah. Wow. I'll have to pull it out when I go home and look at it.
Yeah, that's dope.
But yeah, I did have that version at one point, but I sold it because I didn't need a duplicate.
Well, sure.
In my atmosphere section on my record shelf, like, one whole cube is atmosphere.
Yeah, I hear that.
I
think I'm missing, like, maybe two or three. I don't know. A few of them I'm missing.
I'm missing one, and that's it.
Yeah,
I need the one with the plane. And I only really like, three or four songs off it, so I just haven't bought it yet.
Yeah,
but, like,
completest
I'm going to buy it because I'm going to complete it, but I'm just waiting to find, like, one that's not like $40.
Well, it was funny when we were when a collection came in here the other day, and from our last episode about disappointing albums, a disappointing album popped up, and I immediately thought, like, yeah, I could use that to complete, but I'm like, man, it is that bad. I do not even want that fucking piece of shit on my shelf, dude.
Oh, was it the Gaslight Anthem?
Yeah.
That's funny because we were talking about that in multiple episodes.
Yeah, and it's just, boom, there it is, you know? It's like, oh, no wonder somebody's selling it off because it sucks.
Yeah, it's not a good record. This.
Dude, that's fucking awesome.
So,
I've never seen that before. Dude, you're busting out all kinds of crazy shit.
This is Herman Brood. He was like Dutch, like, rock and roll, punk rock type of dude. He was married to Nina Hagen for a while.
Oh, word.
If I remember right, he jumped off of a building to kill himself. I guess he was Dutch's, like, only rock star. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right. He was he was their biggest.
From Denmark or something?
I don't remember, but I just remember reading that he was either the biggest or the only at the time. I'd have to go back and double check on that. But, I mean, you look at it and you're like, well, I can't really tell, like, what the fuck.
Well, what year is it from?
This would have probably been in the 80s.
I mean, that's what it looks like. And a couple of other albums that I was thinking of bringing.
If you look on the back, though, you can tell. Like,
but it looks like a punk rock album from...
Yeah.
That era.
It has, like, a tinge of punk rock.
I mean, that's what I would think. There's a fucking microphone and a hairy armpit. Like.
Yeah. It's almost, like, it's definitely punk influence or early punk stuff. It might have even been, like, before punk was really, like, punk.
Right.
But I know he's one of those dudes that he's kind of like Iggy Pop, where, like, one record might be something completely bizarre, but a lot of his earlier albums, like I have this one, any Herman Brood with Wild Romance, like the Wild Romance was like the band that was sort of the punk band.
Okay.
It's almost more like Heartbreakers where it is punk, but it's rock and roll, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
No, not at all. But I mean, you look at it, you really don't know.
Fuck no.
What to think of it.
To be honest, I would pass it.
Yeah, it looks kind of goofy.
Just
but
on the cha-cha armpit cover, yeah. I would be like, I'm good.
But there's like some saxophone and shit in here, and like he has a lot of sax in some of the other records, and he almost ties in some blues stuff in there. But there's a picture of him walking around naked on the back, and I'm not going to show that because I don't know if YouTube's going to like fucking flag me for that or something. But
yeah, I'd rather just leave it off.
And, I don't know. He was a crazy guy, though. Like, unfortunately, he was a drug addict, killed himself way too early. But he made great music, so check out Herman Brood. But a lot of his, I have another record that this is just like a cartoon pair of jeans or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what that looks like. And then another one just has, like, his green face on it or something.
Just always off
but
the
I
wall.
Always thought this one was, like, the weirdest one because I'm like, you just look at it and you're like, it almost reminded me of, like, this could be a variant for, like, Sweatin' to the Oldies.
Oh, right on. So my next one is this.
I don't even know what that is.
Doesn't give you any indication.
What is it?
There's a dragon, I think.
Yeah, that's a dragon.
Water.
Water.
Open it up.
Another dragon and a bunch of lyrics.
It's cool artwork, yeah.
It is cool.
But it's Shipwreck AD.
Okay.
This came out in 2007, but I got this with like a Death Wish order. Like they just threw it in there, so right. I wasn't aware of it till then.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
If you go on Discogs, you can get this album relatively cheap, but it's not bad, man. It actually reminds me of like if you took like 80s metal, like Rat. Or, and when I mean, talking like guitars, you know, they have solos like that in it. It sounds like 80s solos mixed in, but with a, you know, a vocals that you would expect to come from like Death Wish, you know what I mean? And I don't think that this was their only full length that I found out. But again, like nothing here, nothing. It's just, okay. And, you know, it's worth a listen. Would I run out and buy it? I'll take it for free, though. You know what I mean? But, yeah, you should check it out, though. If you, you know, like Dokken, you know how they had, like, their guitars had that, like, real chuggy chug, the 5150 sounds with the wiggity, 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 wow. You know, like, that's what they do. It's fucking gnarly. You know, it's just kind of a weird mix for that time. So, I think they have a couple of singles and EPs out, but, yeah. Oh, shit. Shipwreck AD. Death Wish. I don't even know. But, yeah, go on Discogs. I think you can get a copy. Brand new. $10, maybe.
So, while you were taking a bathroom break, I went to the front of the store and grabbed... This is the Emerson, Lake & Palmer
God,
record.
That looks so like it'd be something so fucking badass.
And it... hard to do without looking at it.
Or even on the back. Like,
it opens up into like that. But yeah, and then in the back says brain salad surgery.
Which would lead me to believe that it was like a Ramones record or something, you know?
Yeah, Ramones would be a good one, yeah, because it does kind of like brain drain.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it just looks heavy as shit. Like this record has tricked me a ton of times. So if you're not an Emerson, Lake & Palmer fan and you're out and about record shopping and you see this for a dollar, it is not a heavy metal record.
You should hang it up in your house and when people come over, you could like tell them it's some Giger thing and you know, you want it and then like give it to them and they're like, oh my God, like no problem, man.
It is so cool though, like the look of it. Like, I mean, I would just hang this as a poster anyways. It's like, it just looks that cool. And then the other one that I was talking about is one of Ginger Baker's side projects.
Oh, yeah. It looks like some religious. Well, there's some weird shit going on at the bottom there, but.
Yeah, it's all like, I don't know. They're almost like aliens or something. Or, I mean, they look like people, but they're like from a different civilization or some shit.
Yeah, like ancient aliens or something.
Yeah. And
that's what I like about, you know.
It kind of looks like a heavy metal record to me, or like maybe not like death metal or anything like that, but just like, again, maybe some stoner metal stuff.
Yeah, it's like from around the mid-70s.
Yeah, but it's just kind of like a rock record. Maybe even a little proggy at points.
Yeah. I know it's said all the time, but that's one of the cool things about LPs, man. Is you can really, like, stare into that shit.
Yeah. I mean, because if you... I don't know. It draws you in more. Like, if you pick out a CD, it just doesn't hit the same. Like, the artwork's not as in your face. But I think you have a couple more than I do, so go ahead with another one so this will even us out.
Oh, okay.
Because I went and grabbed those up front. I checked Molly Hatchet, but I know we've been out for a minute. We used to get them all day, every day. And lately they've been like few and far between. I don't know what it
it's
is.
A surge of
it's
Molly
like they
hatchet.
Dried up or something.
Huh. Who's holding out on the Molly Hatchet?
All the people that bought it that thought it was a fucking heavy metal record.
I actually like the back of this more.
Oh, Wilco. Yeah.
But if you didn't know who Wilco... Well, actually, anytime you get a Wilco record, you don't know what the fuck you're getting. But I don't
it's
actually
like...
A King
Gizzard album, basically. It could
of.
Be anything.
I don't know how they got away with using Star Wars to this day. I don't know. This is probably...
I mean, could they use the name since in no way does it... I mean, does it relate to Star Wars at all?
No.
Lyrically, anything like that?
But I was pretty sure at the time George Lucas owned S-T-A-R Wars. I mean, like, I don't know. It was a thing. I remember when it came out, but they were like, yeah, nothing happened. And then this picture... I believe this picture is hanging up in Jeff Tweedy's house or in their practice space, in their loft or whatever. But the back is just a barcode. So it really leads you to believe, I don't know.
Can you scan? Oh, never mind. I see there's another barcode in the bottom
there.
I was going to say, if you like scan the whole thing, does it show you? Does it come up in Discogs?
Never tried it. But you open it up, and then it pretty much tells you what you're getting.
Yeah.
I just thought this was always a silly cover.
I mean, if you were a Star Wars fan and you seen that, you could... mistake it and be like, oh, this is somehow relates to Star Wars, obviously,
well,
because
I mean,
nothing else
think...
on it says Star Wars, or nothing else out there says Star Wars, typically.
Like, shout out to the Dogs of War, but when it says Dark Lord of the Sith, you kind of know what you're going to get, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Anyway, I'm not a huge Wilco fan. I'm like pretty picky about their albums, in fact, but
yeah,
this
I never,
one, I like.
I never been a Wilco fan.
My old lady got me into them. She's responsible for a lot of my fucking non-punk rock, hardcore, hip-hop shit.
My next is, obviously,
ooh,
everybody's going to know this.
That's a good one.
But The Cure's first record.
Yeah, that tells you
I mean, you
nothing.
Get nothing out of that. Now, I've heard and read stories that, like, this is supposed to be, like, the personalities of the band or something like that. Or
okay,
the band
because
has,
of the three members?
Yeah, or the band as, like, inanimate objects or some shit. I remember reading something like that in...
Somebody's
it
book?
It might have been the History of Goth book.
Okay.
But it might have been somebody else completely's book, too. Like, it could have been something else. But I just remember reading something about that. And I tried to find it. I couldn't remember what book it was in. So
I recall something along those lines, too, where there is meaning behind the cover and nobody gets the fucking joke.
Yeah, but they had, like, no graphic design at the time or no, like,
yeah, this
album
first
designer
album, they don't have
for
fucking
them.
Money.
And, The Cure, this doesn't even really sound like a Cure record, like, traditionally.
Yeah,
I
it
mean,
sounds
it
like
sounds
a punk rock
more
record.
More like a punk rock record.
Yeah.
But... If this didn't say The Cure and you just pick it up, like...
You'd have no idea.
I would expect indie rock, because it's just weird and...
Like, at the time, I think, yeah, you'd be like, is this the new, like, Talking Heads or something? Like,
or,
I don't
like,
know.
Yeah, Talking Heads or, like, Wire, maybe.
Yeah.
Or, like,
not
something
different.
Something, you know,
definitely.
Not The Cure.
I'm going to leave a couple of these. I'm not even going to. But here's one that actually, at first glance, even I was like, what? Oh, and then I read the name.
Mind Force.
This looks like some, when I first saw this, I thought it was like some Harry Potter shit, dude. For real. And even, I was going to bring the other Excalibur in, but like, I kind of was thinking, well, that one kind of says like, you know, it shows him getting Excalibur, and it's, like, kind of fighting. Maybe not. But this, like, this got me.
Fucking Harry Potter.
You know, just... Pew, pew,
pew, yeah, no, it, it's just funny that you said that.
And then, obviously, everything else is straight up hardcore. Now, if you have not heard anything from this album, you've been living under a rock, you need to get out of that rock and listen to Mind Force right now.
Yeah, the album's fucking awesome.
If you can see him live, dude. That's pretty much, like, I was listening to him, and then when I saw him, I was like, oh, my God, like, sound better than any record, dude. And it's when the bands do that, it's really hard to.
I like that his voice is unique.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like, you know who
you
it is.
You immediately like you hear it and you're like, oh yeah, that's Mind Force.
Yep. Yeah. That's true. That's hard to pull off. Almost,
I mean, that could be like a stoner rock record too, like that.
Which he does do.
Yeah. It definitely has that feel to it. But the fucking Harry Potter thing. That's funny.
You know, that's kind of. I do like all these pictures.
All Harry Potter jokes aside, we do love Mind Force.
Oh yeah, I love Mind Force. Holler it out to Mind Force. You guys want to get on the show? I'm more than happy.
All right. Next one I have, Twin Temple's first record. I mean, yeah, it says...
I almost brought that in, but then...
It does say Satanic Doo-Wop up there, but, like, even... Fuck, I didn't even know what to expect when I read that. I was like, okay, whatever. I almost thought it was just, like, part of the really old nostalgic look to the album cover. I thought maybe the doo-wop was part of the thing because they do everything in mono and whatever. And yeah, it was like part of the gimmick. But I mean, you look on the back and it's, you know, skulls, candles, fucking Hail Satan. There's a bloody goat head on a naked chick on the front. Like you read the song titles, you know, The Devil Didn't Make Me Do It, Lucifer, My Love. Like it looks... by all means like a heavy metal record, but
nope,
it is the farthest thing from it. Like
it's one of the most unique sounding groups as far as content and voice. Like who does that?
I describe it to people as like if Amy Winehouse was singing about black magic and like wizards and Satan and demons and shit.
It's pretty good.
And a lot more sex is how Twin Temple would be. And I got to see them open up for Ghost, and that was, I never heard the band. Like, I went to go see Ghost. I read them on the bill. I listened to a song, because I didn't expect a doo-wop band to be opening up.
So, and you like, want to be familiar with who's going to pop up.
So I listened to a song, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, that was not what I thought it was going to be. So I'm like, all right, whatever. But you go see them live, and they put on an awesome show. Like, they all have really cool costumes. Like, they were dressed up in, like, some old-school rhinestone cowboy type of shit. Yeah. But they're, like, pouring blood all over each other and, like, stabbing each other with crosses and stuff. And they got, like, guys doing piano solos. Like, they had... these guys that they called ZZ Bottom.
And like, that's fucking dope.
They came up and they were doing like solos. There was a dude with saxophone.
Fucking ZZ Bottom.
They had like
a
keyboard player that came up from the bottom of the stage and was doing some shit.
Fucking like, wild.
Awesome, awesome live show. Lots of fun. Really cool band. And I don't know. It's just like, imagine, like I said, Amy Winehouse or like your favorite like doo-wop artists. Like, I don't know, like, Pearl Bailey comes to mind immediately, but that's a bad one. I can't think of any others off the top of my head. But get back into that, like, 50s.
Like
fucking,
the penguins, the turtles, shit like that.
Yeah. But
Earth Angel.
Take, there you go.
Only it's
Earth
like,
Angel.
I'm going to fuck the devil or
but
some
yeah,
shit
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Exactly. So I like, you know, that sound is cool, but I'm not a big fan of doo-wop. Most of it, there is certain groups that I do like.
Yeah, I love me some doo-wop.
When I hear this, I'm like, yeah, I fucking love doo-wop now. So like, it almost like takes you to where you can go listen to the other shit. But I like all the dark lyrical content and the imagery and everything to it. But yeah, I mean, it definitely looks like a heavy metal record.
Yeah, their second album with them on the cover is a little more telling, but that's still pretty confusing. Like, you don't think it's gonna sound like that.
No, and that because that had them like you can
Western
tell a little bit by the
stuff.
Yeah, that's what they were like on stage.
Yeah, but I think they have
shit.
Don't they have blood coming down? Yeah,
and then it says God is dead underneath the cover.
For me, I gotta be in the right mood to pop them on, you know.
But yeah, it's not an everyday
an everyday listen, but it's definitely unique.
Yeah, but when you do put it on, like, and a lot of it's, like, if you read it, it's funny, too. Like,
yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. Like, the video... What was the song that they put the video out for? I believe you said the name of the song.
I think it was I'm a Slut.
Was it that?
The one song.
Yeah,
like,
that's
or
right.
Or Be a Slut. No, I'm a Slut.
Be a Slut?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But there's like a part of that song that's like, don't spread no gospel, but I'll sure as hell spread my legs.
Yeah, dude, that's some brutal ass. That's brutal. I'm just going to get two out of the way. And I wasn't even going to show this one, but I'm just going to do it real quick.
Is that Led Zeppelin 4?
Yeah. So, and this is probably the most famous Who Knows What the Fuck It Is album. And everybody knows what it is now, I would assume.
Yeah, there's a, I can't remember the dude, but it's a painting by some guy. Yeah.
So, anyway, I don't want to get too far into Zeppelin. Guy. But.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at it, like, I wouldn't.
It's definitely a cool layout. I mean,
honestly, a lot of Led Zeppelin records really weren't all that descriptive of what it would be like. Three, I feel like, kind of paints the image for the time, like the just the random shit the record. Two's just like them chilling on the record. One's a blimp.
I think three's Houses of the for sure.
Houses of the Holy is like
children on rocks. All those
kids climbing on rocks and stuff. And yeah, most of that one album with the dude sitting at the bar, I can't remember the name of.
Out Through the Door?
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin 3, I always thought, because I don't know, I can't even tell you the first time I heard Zeppelin. This shit's been in my life forever, but
probably I always thought, before you even knew that exactly. You heard it.
So I always thought Led Zeppelin 3 would be harder than it, and that's like their fucking soft acoustic album. But the story that I got with the Led Zeppelin 4 was they just wanted to put it out without their name on it to see, you know, like, let's just let the music stand by itself type of thing.
Yeah.
But the real one, my real pick is this. Now, obviously, because of the name.
Is that Syd Barrett?
But yeah, it's Syd Barrett's second album, solo. For those not familiar, that is the original singer of the Pink Floyd. He's did their first album.
Pink Floyd.
That's what they called it then. This is just sounded like weird.
You said the Walmart the internet.
Oh, just like, going over to the Walmart.
Yeah.
Fucking rednecks. But yeah, this is put out on Harvest. This is a repress from a few years ago, 2014. This came out in 1970. But it didn't do very. I mean, it didn't do good.
What's
this
the
is
music a, like? Because like I know weird. He's real fucking odd.
Yeah, it's just weird. And there's like tingy tang. It's almost hard to listen to be honest. But David Gilmour helped finish it. So.
And it's just bugs, like, just bugs on the cover?
Yeah.
What's on the back?
A car.
Okay.
But the bug picture is a picture that Syd did some years before, I guess, like in school or whatever. Before all the fucking acid took hold. So he was already kind of like a strange dude, obviously.
He drew them?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a...
Shit, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's like little crayon marker things. Like 68, I think he drew it. This came out in 70... Or I'm sorry, this came out in 70. The Madcap came out in early 70. But that one, you can tell it's a fucking Syd album because he's crawling on the floor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're into, like, the weird...
That's another one that I would assume...
make no sense.
I would assume just indie rock.
Right, yeah. This gives you no idea that you're listening to a guy that's lost his mind and can barely string two words together. If it wasn't for David Gilmour, this would have never been put out. I mean, you can look into it, and there's all kinds of...
Is it like Naked Lunch, but like put onto a record?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. It's worth a listen, though. And if you're a Pink Floyd fan,
that's one I gotta
be. That's probably one that you're gonna like not. That's not Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
You listen to it, it does not sound anything like Pink Floyd.
I mean, a lot of people talk about Syd Barrett and Pink Floyd, but I don't ever hear anybody talk about his solo records. Like, they always talk about the first album.
Yeah, the Madcap.
And then
Laughs,
they talk
awesome.
About like how fucking Shine is a, you know, song.
Oh, about
dedicated
him,
to
yeah.
Syd Barrett or whatever, and that's the, like one of their biggest songs. But I don't know. I like Pink Floyd, some of it, but I just never want to hear Dark Side of the Moon
again. I follow you there.
Like, it's just so...
I've been into the Pink Floyd. See, there I go with the Pink Floyd. But I've liked Pink Floyd forever. I can't help it. I don't know. It's one of those things I've... Like you said before, I just remember it from wherever. So, like, I remember people be looking through my fucking CD collection, record, whatever. And then, like, I'd have Pink Floyd's greatest hits. And they're like, you know, like, fucking Youth of Today or it's kind of fucking... Agnostic Front. What the fuck? Pink Floyd, you know? But I fucking like the shit.
When I was like 14 or 15, I had a Pink Floyd beanie.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just got it somehow for free or whatever. So I had a picture of me somewhere wearing a Demi Borger shirt with a Pink Floyd hat.
Like, that is pretty funny.
I seen it and I'm like, oh man.
It's hilarious.
Those don't work together, but.
But fuck it. Because I like both of those groups.
Yeah. Next that I had. Dark Throne's Astral Fortress. Obviously, you can tell it's a metal record by the Dark Throne... Oh, wrong side. By the Dark Throne font up here, just looking at it. But, like, since it's Fenriz ice skating on there...
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
It's like... I know it was, like, him kind of, like, making fun of how black metal people take themselves too seriously or whatever. But without the, you know, black metal font that's famous... You really wouldn't be able to tell what this is. Like, it could be kind of anything. Like,
I didn't know what to expect as a Dark Throne fan with that album.
Right, and I think a lot of people didn't. Like, this could have almost just been, like, a folk record that was kind of like, you know, Winterfilleth or something.
For all
that
I know, it'd been him just ice skating, talking shit. Like, he's funny like imagine, that, you know?
Imagine if it was just him mic'd up with some ice skates talking
that's
shit.
That's what I'm saying.
I like this record. I thought it was good. I like the one that followed that just came out more. It Beckons Us All. But that one, you look at it, it looks like something from Alien. You can pretty much tell that it's a metal album.
Yeah.
This one, I mean, it's got, you know, Fenriz and Nocturnal Culto on the back, but...
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't own that album or the new one, but the new one to me is a little more black and roll, and that one's a little more... In the tradition of the earlier metal, is that correct? Of the earlier black metal?
Yeah, like this one's a little more along the lines of like Celtic Frost and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, like the traditional black metal.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I just wasn't sure.
I would say the new one takes everything that this one had, but adds doom metal to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And... I don't know. I'm a big fan of doom metal, so to me that was like fucking that's
a
huge bonus.
It's a rocking fucking album for
there's
sure.
There's tons of really cool, like what I really like about it is it kind of reminds you of like on Total Death, like there was a lot of songs where you'd have one constant riff and then out of completely nowhere it changes to a totally different riff. And that's how like the new record did a lot too, where you just have one like crushing awesome riff, and then all of a sudden they go into some different breakdown and change the whole thing up, and you're like, "That was out of left field, but it fucking works."
But it
and
works.
It's really cool.
That's cool. Yeah, they're known for those fucking grainy. All over. I have another one. Even with the name. Funny cover. No. What do you? I mean, if you didn't know, you got like a rat.
If I didn't know,
maybe, I would assume that's cocaine, razor blade, credit
that
card.
That or rat poisoning.
Oh, there you go. Could have been rat poisoning. That kind of maybe they're from Florida. I don't know.
Yeah, I got picking that up. I would almost assume that was hip hop at first.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
I mean, the font kind of makes it lean a little more toward. Maybe punk rock, hardcore-ish, but it does look a little more hip-hop-y.
And even this, I would say, like, this lettering kind of reminds me of almost more of a psychobilly.
Yep.
Anyway, it's not. R.I.P. to fucking Pete, but this is Bishop, fucking brutal-ass straight-edge music. It's a pretty cool-looking version of it. Anyway, yeah. I don't know if these numbers have any significance, but you can see 4356 and then 666 right there at the end. I know that's in there for a reason, because that's how that dude was. Mm. but this is pretty crushing, straight edge hardcore. I wish there was more out, like, kind of this style now.
I'm surprised that there isn't, really.
I know.
Like,
this is, what, 2010, I believe? Shit. 2008, my bad. But, yeah, you don't have, like, the breakdowns like this does, really. But I'd definitely give it a listen. I'm sure anybody that is familiar with Mean Pete and Remembering Never, I'm sure have got to this, or at least if you haven't, check it out. It's fucking awesome. And it sucks that guy died because he did so many different, like, styles of music that was cool. But, yeah, Side B, Fuck Junkie, Drama Head, Arkham Earth, Rat in Your System, The Joker. I think it's some funny song titles, man. Dime Store Tragedy. But, yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
All right. Well, this is the last record I have. The last two that I have are a couple CDs.
Okay.
But this, what do you get out of that?
I would probably say psychobilly or maybe it'd either be that or like some psychobilly-ish country. Either way, it'd be like. Not so, what it is, probably.
So, Left Lane Cruiser, they're just two dudes, and they often make a lot of their instruments out of random shit.
Awesome.
It's like stonery blues rock, kind of. And, I mean, like, when you said rockabilly, that was why I grabbed it. Because at it, and you're like, yeah, that looks pretty fucking rockabilly-ish. Like, rock them back to hell. Or, I mean, psychobilly, not rockabilly. And it... by all means, cover-wise, like, totally portrays that image, but I don't know, you listen to it, and it's more, like, it's not twangy, but it's, like, it's dirty, grungy, like, distorted, heavy, like, raw, bluesy-sounding stuff, like, in a real good way, though. Like, I'm a big fan of this band. I actually found this record here like a long time ago. Steve, before I even got into the record store, had three of them here.
Oh, right on.
Not this particular record, but three Left Lane Cruiser records. So I just bought them all. Great band, though. And I don't know if they... I believe they're still making stuff. I'm pretty sure they put out a new record this year. Well,
what were some of the instruments that they made on there? Does it say on the back?
It gives... they do, like... so the back says drums and trash, and then like the other dude has guitar, vocals, bass, and Fender Rhodes organ.
Oh, that's nice.
And then there's harmonica and like some other shit on there too. But I mean, it was mixed at Ghetto Recorders in Detroit, which I just now noticed. I never noticed that before.
I've never heard of that. Is any, you know, anybody out there ever heard of that? Hit us back.
I never heard of that either, but that's cool. And other than that, it doesn't say any, like, instruments, but it's definitely got some very, like, you know how, like, Dwid made those guitars and stuff?
Yeah,
it's almost
yeah.
like they kind of made these guitars to sound like filthy blues guitars, like, that's or maybe cool. They just use a lot of pedals. I really don't know, but I don't know the intricacies to their setup like that, but...
Right, right.
Cool record, so if you're a fan of blues stuff, like, check that out. But yeah, I mean, you pick that up in a store, you're like, ah, that's gonna be some psychobilly, yeah. Like,
you know what it looks like, a Walking Dead
zombie killing type of shit.
That's what I was trying, Walking Dead, like, the comic, not the TV show.
Yeah,
the
like lettering. Cartoony, the lettering, yeah. Is all, yeah. Yeah, I would fully think psychobilly. Like, that's when I seen it the first time ever, that's immediately what I thought it was, psychobilly.
Yeah. Looks like, it almost makes me wish I brought in a Madsen album, because it looks like that, too. This is my last record, Save the Best for Last. This really gives you no fucking indication.
Yeah, there's no band name, there's no nothing.
All you get is this. So, if you knew, you knew. But this is fucking...
I wonder...
85 this came out?
Yeah, something like that. Is there a story about... well, I, for anybody that doesn't know, that's Dead Kennedys' Frankenchrist. I guess we should clear that up first off.
Right. This is...
but it's just a bunch of old album. Shriner dudes that, like... I mean, it looks like they took that at the parade here or
something.
Oh,
I know. Shout out to Uncle Doug.
And I wonder if they, I don't know the story behind this. So did they do that on purpose to
that,
where they just
I did not
it,
even
like, look ridiculous?
Look into that, honestly. I just, I think it had just had to do with the same kind of shit where they didn't, they just want you to listen to the music. They don't want to, and Jell-O is still to this day a weird in a good way. You know, this is a very political record. And the, you can tell that they're more mature in their writing and shit. It's still fast and loud, but it's not like their early stuff, you know?
Right.
Like Holiday in Cambodia and all the, like, the hits, if you will, at least in the punk rock world.
the worst of the best.
Yeah, like the...
Or the best of the worst.
It would be Fresh Fruit for fucking...
Rotting Vegetables.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, of course, Gimme Convenience or Gimme Death would be the... The Greatest Hits, which I think to this day is the fucking best name for a fucking Best Of or Greatest Hits album. I think it's just fucking hilarious.
Yeah, because
Give me
convenience
or Give Me Death.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because people don't want to buy albums, you know? But the first song on here...
Picking that up, I don't know what I would think.
No, you like, don't.
Like, there's no... there's nothing that I'd be like, oh, that's indie rock or that's... I just don't even...
Like, yeah, like I said, you had to know. So even when I came
it
across it, I already
like
knew
a,
that
a
this was like Dead Kennedys.
12 by 12, like, photograph of a parade. Like,
yeah, it's fucked up.
I would almost think it was like a fucking gimmick picture thing or something.
Here's the insert. OG insert. Kind of cool. But even that, it's just like, there's a guy, the world in his hands, all these people. But that kind of actually makes sense now that I think about it. But, yeah, it's a great album. Like I said, the first song, it's like Soup Is Good, is basically about AI taking over our jobs and things of that nature. It's like, damn, this shit could have been released yesterday.
Yeah, it's crazy when somebody writes a song timeless like that, or like, this is in a totally different realm, but like Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, like that could still definitely resonate with shit today.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, soup is good food. That's what it is. A growing boy needs his lunch.
That's what they tell you at the homeless shelter.
Yeah. Get this fucking insert back in. But yeah, this is a... I found this at the thrift store, I think.
Really?
Yeah, so this could have been Don's at one time or
I don't think Don listened to Dead Kennedys.
But yeah, this is an OG 85 press. It was actually, it came with this and then the next one, Liberty. But that's all I have for...
Another for one, yeah. This, Deftones Gore.
Oh, I was going to bring that one too, and I was like...
Where, I mean, it's just a bunch of flamingos and it says Gore in the front.
Yeah, you have no idea.
And so, like,
can't
if you didn't...
I didn't fucking bring that
if
one.
If you didn't know it was Deftones, like, what the fuck are you going to think that is? Like, I don't...
You were just on a Deftones kick, too, for a minute, weren't you?
Yeah, I still kind of am. But yeah.
Good, great fucking band.
They're one of, like, I think we both said this, like, that they're one of those bands that you appreciate more, like, as an adult.
Yeah, definitely.
I fell off Deftones for a while, like, when they got real, real popular.
Yeah.
And every, like, Hot Topic person was like, well, we fucking love Deftones.
Like, the first
but
time
they know,
or the
like,
second time?
The first time.
Like, the White Pony
like,
shit?
Right after White Pony came out. And then, like, Queen of the Damned put it on there, and everybody wanted it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, it, like, it became huge. And not that you can't like a band that's huge, it just kind of got on my nerves that, like...
Yeah, all you would hear
all
was
you
the
would
first
hear about is,
two songs?
Yeah. And everybody talked about Deftones, but nobody played anything other than, like, White Pony... Or, like, what's a Digital Bath, RX Queen, Temple of Flies, or whatever. Like, the three, like, most popular songs on the record, and that was it. Nobody talked about Adrenaline. Nobody talked about Around the Fur, which Around the Fur was when I first heard Deftones. And I like that sound more. So it took me a while to, like, appreciate where they went as a band.
Yeah, you had... There's a very good to go from the front of that band until now. And if you do, you can hear the fucking evolution in every
record.
But if
you go back as an adult, you listen to it, you read the lyrics and everything, like, you realize everything that's really there, you're like, oh, shit.
No,
like,
it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
I have a Deftones story.
I just kind of got old. for a minute there? Like,
I think I was 15. No, I had to have been not 15. I was 16 when, I don't know when it came out, but I had it in my fucking CD player. I was 16 and I was listening to the Deftones, and I got into my, I rear-ended somebody waving at fucking Commander Snake. Shout out to Snake, even though I know he doesn't listen. But, you know, I was doing like a, hey, dude, what's up? Boom! Like, oh, shit. And just fucked my shit up. That car hit another car that didn't have insurance. They got a ticket. And so, like, I would, for the longest time, dude, I was, like, not listening to Deftones while I drive.
They're like a bad omen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got over that a few fucking years ago, you know? But that was my Deftones story with White Pony. So I'd be like, fuck that album.
Yeah, it's like a... It's a good, like, turn all your lights off and blast it album. Same with Diamond Eyes, I think.
Yeah, Diamond Eyes is good awesome. One too.
But, I mean, really, Deftones didn't do a bad record. It's just Gore specifically, like, looking at it, like, I wouldn't know what direction to go to. I'd be like, I don't know. This could be beach music for all you know.
Right.
It could be, like, Christopher Cross sailing music or some shit. I mean, Gore kind of at least points it in one direction, but really...
He has a flamingo on his cover, doesn't he?
Yeah, the Christopher Cross album, yeah. That's why I said it.
I was thinking about that.
What do you got next?
That was all of them, yep.
Oh, so my last one, I brought this simply as a joke because the cover is not that misleading.
But it's silly.
I mean, you look at it, well, you're going to know what it is when I show it, but, so.
Yeah. I almost brought that record, too.
Yeah, Metallica's Black Album. Now, I guess looking at it, you really wouldn't know if you didn't know Metallica, but my thought behind this was the cover's not misleading, but everybody who thought this was going to be a good record was misled to believe that it was going to be a good record. And it just was not.
Now,
like,
I will say that on that CD repop you have there, it looks like they made the snake more prominent. Yeah,
they definitely did.
The old ones, man, you could fucking barely see
it. Because you can even
see,
like, in the...
Yeah, you could never
see that. It's probably real hard
shit.
On camera. You can see where
Metallica.
It says Metallica right there.
Yeah. But no, you're right. Everybody thought that was going to be, like, Injustice for All 2.
Yeah. I will say I jacked this from my kid's CD collection, so I don't own this. Just for the record. Just so everybody's like, well, if it sucks so bad, why do you have it? I mean, I have some records that do suck. But yeah, this one, I mean, there's tracks on there that I like. I cannot stand this album. But I mean, really, I can't. Fucking Metallica's like Pantera to me at this point.
Yeah,
I just can't hear it. Like, I'm just sick of it. Like, I'm tired of hearing about it.
I'm with you. I have that album is for sale. Let me know if you want it. Hit me up. I have it.
Do you have an original
one?
No,
fuck no. I got a repop.
I was gonna say, damn, that's probably pricey.
I'm gonna get off the Metallica subject. Fuck that.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say I don't want to end this episode by like just 15, 20 minutes
it's
of
Metallica
trashing. But so yeah, I mean. We could have easily brought in, like, 20 more, but I didn't want to make this insanely long because I felt like a lot of the back and forth would be like, hey, look at this. Yeah, you don't know what it is. Next one. But, I mean, next time you go to a record store, just, like, have this in mind where you're like, okay, let's look for cool album covers.
I'm already thinking
the album
of ones
covers...
I could have brought with me.
Oh, I already had, like four in my head that I was like, damn it, I should have grabbed that one.
But, yeah, with your point, definitely... don't judge the fucking album by its jacket, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because sometimes you get good, sometimes you get bad.
Yep.
I will say that every cool record is good, and not every not cool album cover is a bad record. I had to say that weird so I didn't tongue twist it, but you know what I mean?
But I will say this, if you buy a bad album with a cool cover, you could... do something with the cover if it's that cool.
Oh, but like the record sucks?
Yeah.
So you could like frame the Yeah, like that Emerson, Lake, and Palmer album.
Yeah, exactly.
If I had a convenient spot to put that where I had, like, some other H.R. Geiger artwork, I'd plug it in there for
there
sure.
There you go.
But I don't. Most of my walls are covered, and I can't just throw that in my kitchen randomly.
I'll put it in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Anyway, no,
here's
I don't have anything.
My famed brain salad surgery album.
Hilarious.
Yeah, let us know in the comments, like, some of your records that you might have bought that, like, you thought were going to be cool and sucked, or the cover was not what you thought the music was going to be, or, you know, I'm sure a lot of record collectors have fallen for the Molly Hatchet thing, because you can find Molly Hatchet most of the time in discount bins, and they look fucking awesome.
Yeah, tell us any covers that you think are misleading. I left out a couple bands I'll mention. Like, AFI has a lot of misleading covers. But if you're an AFI fan, you kind of know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing. But yeah, I'd love
to
hear other ones.
But Blind Eyes again. You're going into this as Stevie Wonder.
Right, right.
Or Ronnie Millsap.
So.
Ray Charles. I'm out of Blind Guys.
Yeah, but then they can never see it.
I know.
So you only can be temporarily
blind. Yeah, that's
blind.
True. You're so. Going in with...
You're going
virgin,
in like Riddick.
Virgin Eyes.
Riddick, Pitch Black, and you can't look at the records till it's dark. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, there you go. We'll end on that. Anyway, comment on it. Let us know. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on TikTok. I will say I'm not that great with TikTok. I don't like it, but I'm using it. We're there. So if you like it and you want to follow us there, check it out. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. I hate saying that, so I'm not going to say that all the time. If you want to subscribe, you're going to subscribe.
Also, I asked Ryan earlier about our Discog. We still
our
have
Discord.
Or Discord, I'm sorry. We still
Discogs.
Have that. So we might fuck with that.
Yeah, we'll get Discord up and going again, and like if people who are users who want to just come in, stay in the chat room and bullshit back and forth with us, like
that'd
we'll,
be great.
We'll be in there for sure.
Or any ideas you might have, always reach out.
Yeah, anyways, thanks for listening, and fucking peace out.
Have a good one.